Blog Talk Radio.
Here's the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. And Dusty, your fans welcome you back, man.
First of all, I would like to thank the many, many fans throughout this country that wrote cards and letters to Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, while I was down. Secondly, I want to thank Jim Crockett Promotions for waiting and taking the time, because I know how important it was. Starrcade 85, it is to the wrestling fans, it is to Jim Crockett Promotions. And Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, with that wait, got what I wanted. Ric Flair, the world's heavyweight champion. I don't have to say a lot more about the way I feel about Ric Flair. No respect, no honor. There is no honor among thieves in the first place. He put hard times on Dusty Rhodes and his family. You don't know what hard times are, Daddy. Hard times are when the textile workers around this country are out of work and got four or five kids and can't pay their wages, can't buy their food. Hard times are when the auto workers are out of work and they tell them go home. And hard times are when a man has worked at a job 30 years. They give him a watch, kick him in the butt, and say, hey, a computer took your place, Daddy. That's hard time. That's hard time. And Ric Flair, you put hard times on this country by taking Dusty Rhodes out. That's hard time. And we all had hard times together. I admit I don't look like the athlete of the day supposed to look. My belly's just a little big. My hind is just a little big. But brother, I am bad and they know I'm bad. And there were two bad people. One was John Wayne and he's dead, brother. And the other one's right here. Nature Boy Ric Flair. The world's heavyweight title belongs to these people. I'm going to reach out right now. I want you at home to know my hand is touching your hand for this gathering of the biggest body of people in this country, in this universe, all over the world. Now, reach it out, because the love that was given me, and this time, I will repay you now, because I will be the next world's heavyweight champion on this hard time blues. Dusty Rhodes Tour 85. And Ric Flair, Nature Boy, let me leave you with this. One way to hurt Ric Flair is to take what he cherishes more than anything in the world. That's the world's heavyweight title. I'm going to take it. I've been there twice. This time when I take it, Daddy, I'm going to take it for you. Let's gather for it. Don't let me down now, because I came back for you, for that man up there that died 10, 12 years ago and never got the opportunity to see a real world champion. And I'm proud of you, and thank God I have you. And I love you.
Love you!
I tell you,
there's a lady. There's a lady in the man's bathroom. Look at that. There is a woman in the man's gown right here in Baltimore.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I'm your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm joined by my co-host, Katrera. What's going on, Katrera?
Not too much.
And before I introduce my other co-host, I have to get some assurances from him that he's not going to cause any controversy or cause any deletions of the show, that this is a family show, and I myself would never say anything to offend anyone in the world. And that is, Craig, are you going to behave yourself tonight?
I'm making no promises.
Okay. Well, I guess I have to live with that, because we both know that you are one of the most controversial people in all of wrestling this week. And
sure.
You know, luckily, Craig Gate has seemed to die down a little bit, and you have not been fired or suspended indefinitely from WrestlingObserver.com.
Well, that's correct.
it's pretty funny because you know, I got off of work and I listened to the show, and I guess I heard the edited version and I didn't think nothing of it, and then I get a Facebook, no, a Twitter message from Robert, of all people, talking about, so did you hear Craig Gates? And I was like, what the fuck is he talking about? And I keep throwing my paper on, and I listened to the show, and I didn't hear anything. And I was like, I have no idea. Robert's lost his mind. And then I come home, I get on the board, and I see that Craig has caused some major problems.
Yeah.
What's the situation, Craig? Were you thrown under a bus, or what happened here? Because I know you, Craig. You're the least offensive person I'm would probably ever meet, and somehow you caused Brian Howard to delete a portion of a show.
Yeah, that's what happened. No, in a nutshell, and I don't know if I'm even going to be able to address this on the show on Tuesday, but I might as well get it out of the way. I had this great idea for a contest in where I would have the listeners come up with songs about Brian's love for black girls. Now,
African American women, by the way, is what you meant.
Sure.
Yeah, black girls.
So,
we did.
Yeah. So I tried to make it sound quote unquote politically correct. So I changed it to the word exotic. Besides, Brian's taste in women are not just for black girls. So I figured I would go with the word exotic. Well, that, in fact, got me in more trouble. But the gist of it was I was on the fence about bringing it up and got in the car with Vince for our carpool up to Brian's house, and I bounced it off of Vince. I said, here's what I'm thinking about, Vince, and here's the wording I'm going to use, and even told him some of the song titles that I was going to come up with, and he said nary a word that this is a bad idea, I think you should come up with something else. He said, okay, ought to be fun. So I figured I was in the clear. Did the show with Brian. Brian must have thought it was okay because he, number one, participated in the conversation, and then number two, so I didn't think anything of it. Drove home, went to bed, woke up the next morning. There was a forwarded email from Brian to me. Exactly one person called in or emailed in and complained. So Brian thought better of everything and ripped the original audio down and replaced it with an edited version. But of course, some people heard the unedited version, and a couple of people on the board, and this turned into a 13-page thread, by the way, about this, that, and the other thing, and most of them were very positive, and leave Craig alone, Craig's not a racist, I don't think he meant any harm, blah, 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 but there were
people complaining about something, I don't even know what Craig said, basically.
Well, some people did hear it, and I'm sure I know somebody put it in a Dropbox and passed along the code to that or the info to that. I'm sure people heard it, but I didn't mean any harm. And I had two other guys that figured it would be no harm in the room with me. So make of that what you will. But if you were genuinely offended, I do apologize. If you were genuinely offended, if you're just out to be a D-bag, then screw off.
I'm offended. I didn't get to hear it.
We had this whole big long conversation about kind of the PC thing last week, and then it's funny because then you get to become the victim of it, of all people. And,
sure.
I'm sure you won't agree with this word, but the pussification that has happened to this fucking country and world with all this PC is just pathetic, especially from a bunch of wrestling fans who we grew up on nothing but racism and pro wrestling. You know, the dirty jab.
Very true.
The crazy, you know, the evil Germans, the Russians, the the savage Samoans that eat human flesh and you know, everything like that. I mean, wrestling is built on that. The redneck, you know, cowboys. It's just, you know, everything about wrestling is working on some kind of stereotype. And for a wrestling fan to become offended because of the word exotic or the fact that somebody wants to make up a song that's because Brian might like black women. And this is not like a joke. This is a known fact. I'm a witness to this. Grace is a witness to this. We know Brian likes black women in the club, so it's not a big thing, you know. I like Asian women. Does that make me racist?
I don't know.
I hope not.
I thought I knew what racist was until I was accused of being one, and now I'm just very confused.
We just stuck with, like, Mexicans or something. That's not even real racism, son. Once it's being black.
It,
no one talks
and it,
more about Mexicans than me, so.
It's all very comical to me. Like I said, if you were offended, I do apologize. That meant absolutely no harm. But at the same time, it's so funny to me that, you know, I know that most of the guys on the board are trolling. I know they're just busting my balls, and I'm totally fine with that. And quite frankly, deserve it for not thinking a little bit more, because one of the things that I didn't think about is the songs that were going to be created. I didn't even think that somebody would get out of line until I heard one of them on the board. And it's like, okay, maybe it was all for the best. So, you know, what are you going to do? You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. So whatever, water under the bridge.
That's understandable, explains. But when half the drops and half the songs feature the Iron Sheik talking about how he's going to fuck somebody up the ass or calling someone a faggot. I mean, one of the original themes, the opening theme songs to this song before you guys joined was made by Decca, whatever his last name is, and it was,
yeah.
I kissed a faggot. So, you know what I mean? It's
okay.
Like, people need to get over it. It's the word. People can, like, Jerry's Seinfeld has something that he said that the PC is like ruining comedy, and it is. And we'll go ahead and I wanted to get this out of the way. Go ahead.
Real quick, I think the disclaimer made it sound a whole lot worse than it actually was. That they put up that apology. The disclaimer made it sound like a tailgating violation.
Oh, I know.
Or something like that. You know.
Yeah.
Plus, he made it worse, and he also drew Craig under the bus with it.
Right, and it made it sound like it was all me, and by the way, I've been getting all the heat, but at the same time, again, I bounced the idea off Vince, and Brian went through with it and posted it, so if you're mad at me,
it's fine. My next one.
Be mad at Vince and Brian, too, please.
This is
anyway,
my next one, but it went up. You know, it took time to go up.
I know. And anyway, it is what it is. What are you going to do? I'm not in trouble. I even volunteered. I said, hey, Brian, I'm really sorry for the headache I caused. I said, if I have to take a couple of weeks off, I completely understand. And he texted me back, F no, I'll see you Tuesday.
I was expecting you to join the porch or something this week.
I
read about it on Cheat Sandwich. They had a story.
Well, it was on Cheat Sandwich, and
it wasn't a bad story.
That was just flattering.
Weird.
Yeah. So I wanted to get this out of the way because we pretty much got the whole show to talk about something, unfortunately, that happened this past week. And last week, unfortunately, me and Couture had to spend most of the show talking about the unfortunate passing of Tommy Rogers of the Fantastic. And today, this week we lost someone who's even more famous, more part of the thing than even Tommy Rogers was. I mean, I'm talking one of the 5-3 greatest, most important wrestlers of all time. And unfortunately, we lost the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. And it hit me pretty hard. I sleep in shifts, and one of the shifts is right before wrestling was ever live. and I was taking a nap there, and then right before the WrestleMania's Ever Live was going to start, my phone beeps from Twitter, and it's one of those things where it tells you these people are talking about something on Twitter, and what that was a hashtag Rest in Peace Dusty Rhodes, and I'm like, what the fuck? And then, of course, you know, it took just seconds to find out that he did, in fact, pass away, and it hit me pretty hard because, I mean, Dusty's been there. Even before I saw Dusty wrestle live, I knew who Dusty Rhodes was because of the After Mags, you know? I mean, I knew exactly what was going on in Florida with Dusty Rhodes, even though I couldn't see it. And from the very beginning, and he's just been there. He was just on TV a few months ago, and it was a big shock to me. What were you guys thinking when it happened or when you heard?
Well, I'll say this. The same day was the 1 year anniversary of my father dying. So I was kind of, I gathered my family together and I said, hey, listen, we're not going to sit around and mope, you know, let's think about all the good times, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, just don't want to dwell on it. And, anyway, and then, you know, right around break time at lunch, oh my goodness, there's news that Dusty had passed. It's crazy. He's one of the first people I ever saw wrestle. You know, because we had a block of wrestling on. It was about 4 hours of wrestling, which included WWF and NWA and GLOW and POW. And Dusty was on that first show I watched. I know that for sure because I was enamored with the man. So from a young man watching it for the very first time, it was weird. It was weird to, you know, because the Macho Man had been gone for a while. You didn't see him for a while. That was pretty tough. But Dusty just always had been. You know what I mean?
Macho Man was kind of like a recluse at that point, like a hermit
right.
or something. He hadn't seen him for, I don't know, what, like 10 years or so when he died. And Dusty, you always hearing stuff about Dusty. He was on TV just a few months ago. And, I mean, before mm-hmm. that, he was on TV about the year before. And they were doing the thing with Cody and Dustin. And Cody got fired, and they brought him in. And he pie-faced Stephanie McMahon on TV, and I think he got in trouble. And,
yeah.
Yeah, and he was the first wrestling show I ever watched, because the first wrestling match I think I really ever saw was, I watched the Worldwide Wrestling when the Russians got beat by the Rock and Roll Express for the tag team title, and the match took like the entire hour, and they had a interview with Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair. There, and that's kind of what got me hooked on wrestling. Plus, I had heard the name. He's got one of those names you know you've heard of before, even if you're not a wrestling fan, especially back then. You know, everybody had heard of the name Dusty Rhodes or something like that before. So, yeah.
Let me say this real quick. If you are listening to us live, and you just happen to be on Twitter, the Wrestling Observer just tweeted out, check out Global Force Wrestling on Periscope right now. So if you want to hear us ramble on, you can also watch the Global Force Wrestling live on Periscope right now.
What's Periscope?
Which is, it's a live streaming service. Live streaming service, basically. The live Grand Slam tour from Jacksonville. Right now, Moose is in the ring with somebody. Anyway,
it's like you're turning your phone into a streaming device. So you're whatever you're filming, like if you're like filming something on your phone, it also broadcasts it on the internet. So that's what Periscope is. I haven't tried it yet, but I might because it seems like everybody's doing it. When, like I said, I knew who Dusty was before I ever saw Dusty. The first time I ever saw Dusty. And I can't pinpoint what year it was. but it was either early 80s and possibly 79, but I just don't feel like it was that early. But basically, the first wrestling that I watched was Georgia. Well, Georgia and WWE, I pretty much discovered them at the same time. And Georgia, at the time, that's when Tommy Rich was like the main babyface. And they would talk about Dusty Rhodes, but he never came out on Georgia, like, television. But, you know, they bring in people for the Omni and have the commercial, they mentioned Dusty Rhodes. And you knew Dusty Rhodes, but I had never seen him. And then one day, they showed, it wasn't like a live Georgia Championship Wrestling show. It was basically just a take. I think it was just, they did it because it was also 1 hour, because you know how the baseball would cause them to cut the second hour sometimes. And the tape basically was Dusty Rhodes against Harley Race for the NWA World title. And Dusty Rhodes won the title. And it was the first match I ever saw with Dusty Rhodes. And it was, they made a big deal about it because, like, they were showing, like, the tape of it. And that was the first time I saw it. And it was, like, the first time I saw, like, a real world title match on TV. Even though it wasn't live, but they were still showing the pretty much the whole match. And it just, you know, just right off the bat, I knew who Dusty Rhodes was because I saw him win the world title. And I thought that was pretty cool. And it was a pretty good match. And it's kind of funny because by today's standards, you'd look back and you'd be so shocked because the two dudes wrestling for the world title both had beer bellies and looked older. And nothing like the typical WWE tough enough contestant that's down in the training center right now. You know, those are the two best in the world, and they look like your uncles kicking back at a bar.
Yeah.
You know, then these super athletes, and you know, maybe wrestling needs to go back to what it was, you know, and get some different, you know, make the guys different, look different, and maybe we'll remember them better than we do now, because it's when you look back at Dusty's matches and his angles and his promos, it's like, when did wrestling stop being good? You know what I mean?
At 2001.
Yeah, of course, over the last couple of days, I've been listening to a lot of Dusty's promos. And to say there's something missing in today's promos, would be a huge understatement, because the way Dusty talked, and it just on another level of amazing. And just the way you hung on every word that he said, the way that you believed every word that he said, and he was so passionate about everything he said, you couldn't help but be enthralled when you were watching him on TV.
He was kind of like a wrestling version of Muhammad Ali with the talking, you know. Muhammad Ali was like, in sports, we're probably, you know, like one of the best talkers of all time, and, you know, for boxing, and Dusty was pretty much that for wrestling, so.
Yeah, he was unique. I mean, he stood out. I mean, like I say, he was fat, he was short, he had a big blotch on his side. And I called him the Wrestling Observer Live to see if it was ever known. Was it just a big-ass birthmark, or did someone, like, shoot Dusty or stab him, or what the fuck happened down there? But if you've seen Dusty Rhodes wrestle, you know what we're talking about. And he had, like I say, I guess it was just, all you can call it is a splotch.
When I was younger, I figured Tully Blanchard tried to stab him or something. Or baby.
Maybe it was Sid.
He was a horrible wrestler. Asshole. He was not that bad.
He wasn't bad at all.
First off, say that when a person dies anyway. I mean, Jonathan Coachman trying to tell me that Dusty Rhodes is a horrible wrestler, like me is trying to tell me about Nick fucking Bockwinkel. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I've seen Dusty. I've seen matches from, like, the 70s, him and Dick Murdoch as a tag team. Dusty Rhodes was I can't even say he was a good worker. He was a very good worker. You know what I mean? I mean, was he Chris Benoit or Dean Malenko and he did 100 fucking wrestling moves? No, but as far as everything he did it at the right time. He did it in a way that he got over no matter what. You know, it's like Brian was mentioning that, how can you say he's a bad worker when he gets over and that's the goal of wrestling? That's true, but also, even saying that, it's almost like saying he was a bad work rate. He wasn't a bad worker. He was great. And then just because people think he was fat, he thinks he can't go. He was the NWA World Champion. The only way you could be the NWA World Champion is if you can wrestle hour after hour, night after night against the best in the world. And he was a champion before Jim Crockett owned the belt, or basically owned the NWA at that point. He was a champion before them. So obviously everyone thought he was good enough to do that. You know, you have to have everyone's vote to do that, and he did. And it's offensive when people say he was a bad worker. He wasn't. And even when he was old and couldn't do anything, he'd get in the ring, and he'd still know what to do to get over. You know what I mean? There's a difference between work rate and knowing how to work.
Yeah.
And honestly,
right.
Knowing how to work is actually more important than work rate. You know, but a lot of people today, they're kind of wrestling snobs, and, you know, it's the work rate thing when, you know what I mean? That's not what's made money. The people who know how to work are the ones that make money, not the guys who have that awesome work rate.
Yeah, and when he was older, like, you know, in, like, the later 80s, he had the best opposition, like, to work with that made him look good. I mean, like, Tully Blanchard, you know, the Horseman, the Midnight Express, all those, you know, he was in there with so much good talent that he was, I mean, the matches were very, very good. I mean, he didn't do much. He didn't have to do much. He's kind of like a Jerry Lawler. Jerry Lawler didn't have to do much when he was wrestling. You know, he was all more like psychology and stuff, but he wasn't a bad worker. I mean, he still had great matches. He just didn't have to do much. He still had to do much and still have great matches. You know, more power to you.
And speaking of Jerry Lawler, and I just posted this the other day, my buddy Matt found the old poster. It's on my Twitter page if you want to check it out. But it was Saturday, July 23rd in Lakewood, Washington. The main event was the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes versus Jerry the King Lawler. And this was in... gosh, I want to say it was like 2004, 2005. So he was doing those indie dates. He wasn't really working for anybody. But this guy won the lottery and decided that he was going to open his own wrestling promotion.
Oh, no.
And he called it FTW, F the World. And he brought in, on that show specifically, he brought in the Naturals. Eric Young was there. There was like three or four other guys from TNA at the time. The one kid that worked like Shawn Michaels was there. I can't remember all their names. Helix Skipper was there. But... like I said, the main event was Jerry Lawler and Dusty Rhodes. And these two went in there, and they cut promos on each other. Jerry cut a promo on the crowd. They locked up. They pushed each other back and forth. They exchanged punches. They worked the crowd some more. Jerry dove out of the ring, cut a promo on fans at ringside. He accused some woman. He yelled at her, and I remember this vividly. He said, "I don't come to the strip club and bother you when you're working. Don't bother me when I'm at my job." And if they took one bump, I missed it. But they were working.
So basically, it's like a Larry Zbysko match that was entertaining.
It was the best thing I have ever seen live, without any bumps. I should preface that. No bumps.
The only moves in the match would be a right hand and a bionic elbow.
Yeah. Oh, there was lots of that. I think Jerry actually did take a bump for the finish, but it was absolutely tremendous. And to see these guys, and I hate to use the word entertain, and wrestle, it was something to watch, because, you know, anybody can do a million high spots, but to actually put some thought and some psychology into what you're doing takes real talent. And just because a man doesn't do a moonsault and a 450 splash, it doesn't make him a good worker. So that was one of the most entertaining things I saw. I did actually get to meet Mr. Rhodes on one occasion. I was in Orlando, Florida, vacationing with my family, and they were doing the Thursday night TNA tapings. And so I figured, what the heck? And so we drove down to Universal Studios and got in the lot and walked through, and they found us some very nice seats. Of course, it didn't cost a thing. And watched a show, and my wife said, we need to get going. We got this, and this to do, because she was actually at a conference at the time. And I need to get back, and said, okay, well, the main event's going on now. The only thing I can remember about the main event, I said, oh, Sabu was involved. And the match was over, and as soon as the bell rang, we ducked out of there. And as I walked back through the bleachers, the Dream was standing there. And I stuck out my hand, and I shook his hand, and I said, it was a good show tonight, Dream. And he says, thank you, baby. Thank you so much. And that's my story.
I've seen him live. Saw him live a few times. Saw him at the Crockett Cup. He took on Ric Flair at the first Crockett Cup, and I think I saw him in late '88. They were he had like a dog collar match with Kevin Sullivan in Mississippi. Mm. I want to see, and he had Rick Steiner in his corner. There wasn't many moves in that match either, because I think Kevin Sullivan knows it better than to, you know, try all that issue with the Booker or something.
Yeah, I remember later on in his career, when ECW was very late in their career, I should say, Dusty had that series of matches with Steve Corino.
Yes.
And it escalated into a bull rope match at one of their pay-per-views. And that man didn't take one bump. He sat in the corner and bled. But there were no bumps taken, and he had me in the palm of his hand. That guy, just amazing.
The greatest line of all time when they were doing that feud, he accused him of cutting Magnum's brakes in his car. I died when I heard that. Everybody knows that he cut Magnum's brakes in his Porsche because he was more over than you.
Yeah,
it is horrible taste, but it's funny as hell.
Yeah.
The first time I ever saw Dusty is during the heyday of basically the Crockett promotion. They'd actually came to San Antonio a few times, so I got to see Dusty against Ric Flair, and then I got to see the James Boys against the Midnight Express. And for those who don't know, the James Boys were Dusty Rhodes and Magnum TA doing. They were kind of like doing the Midnight Rider gimmick, which Dusty Rhodes has done a few times, most famously in Florida, where he basically lost the match and had to leave town. And within a week or two, they were getting vignettes of a masked man at a campfire who was coming to get revenge against the guys who wronged Dusty Rhodes, and that was the Midnight Rider. And That was an awesome angle that was copied many a times before. Never as good as the original one, but did you guys ever get to see any of the Midnight Rider?
I did saw the only Midnight Rider. Well, just aside from, you know, like YouTube stuff the last few years, but I mean, like in the when it was actually happening, I saw the one where, remember we beat the piss out of Tully with the baseball bat after he hit an MTA in the studio?
I actually just saw that today. I was kind of looking for it as a clip, but it was 9 minutes, so it was just long. So I
That was awesome. He ripped his ass with that baseball bat.
He made it look real. He made it look like it was a fucking shoot the way he was attacking Tully. And then he took out one of the Crockett's.
Yeah, he took out, almost brained Barry Windham in the head with that thing.
Oh,
thing
yeah,
while he did.
I kind of forgot about that. When I watched the clip, I was like, God damn, that bat went like inches away from Barry's head. And
nobody at that point, this was in 88, a couple years after, nobody had like touched Magnum, and then Tully hit him, and like the whole show stopped, and everybody was going crazy. And Dusty came out there and grabbed Magnum's baseball bat, because Magnum had the bat because they used for protection, and he just whipped his ass with it. And I mean, all the wrestlers were coming out, he grabbed him, he'd start choking him with it. He had like six or seven guys, like Sting and Luger and the Fantastics, trying to pull him off. It was awesome.
Yeah, that was absolutely fantastic. That's the one thing. I mean, Dusty has some, like, if it was anybody else, some of the angles would be, like, so stupid. But he just, like, made them work. I mean, we've talked about how, you know, he won Baby Doll in a match from Tully Blanchard. The Baby Doll was Tully's valet. And, you know, they did the vignettes where they didn't get along. And then there's the one where they're out at the ranch. And Nelson Royals Ranch. And she gets on one of the horses, and she just fucking hauls ass and takes off. It's still floyed the horse. And she disappeared for a while. And I think she took his credit card, and her and Tully went on vacation, and she charged all this money on his credit card.
He went to Hawaii, and he was doing a promo on Worldwide, and he was looking at the bill for he had gone to Hawaii, apparently, but he didn't go to Hawaii. Baby Doll did with his credit card. So
I think this one clip I downloaded has some Baby Doll. Let me play this real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all can catch your breath here for a couple minutes.
Back on World Championship Wrestling, this man, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, at one time held that world television title, now held by Tully Blanchard along with Baby Doll.
You know, traveling throughout this country, Dusty Rhodes is recognized everywhere because of his hat, not his eyes, because of his hair, his ability, and his rap. Dusty Rhodes is known all over the world. They don't need to look at my face, my clothes, to know who I am. We're talking about $500,000 a year. Not $100 a week, you understand? That's what we're talking about. Ric Flair going around the country talking about how great he is. I just got a letter from a person named Owens out in Portland that's going to send me a kiss real shortly. That's how strong we are. And Owens, I know that you're listening right now, and I'm going to be banned for you, you understand? Because I'm looking for it. Tully Blanchard, Baby Doll, now then, on this day right here, we're going to start taking care of business. And that is my world television title that you got around your waist. Now you got to deal with me, and you got to face the fact that there's no place you can hide, no place you can run, nowhere Baby Doll can stick that ugly face of hers without me finding it. And that's a fact. And facts are, the American Dream is the best, is here. And the Koloff will fall to me and Dick Slater very shortly. We're going to take it all. You like this hat?
Sure do.
You better like this hat. That's no lie.
The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. And now let's go back to the very happy, as you can tell, the smile on her face. And let's see the slingshot once again. A very impressive move.
Watch that. He slingshot. This gives him extra momentum. He picks him up, powers him over, hard down on the mat. Your winner, World Television Champion, Tully Blanchard.
Hey, big boy. Big boy. Just want to come over and give you a little message, because I know how bad you want this.
I know how
I'm
bad.
I'm getting ready to take it.
Hey, hey, hey. Don't what? You even think about laying a hand on my Tully. And by the way, Rhodes, where they come from in Texas, where I'm from, they tip their hat to a lady.
What about that, Dusty? She got right up in front of you.
Tip their hat to a lady. If I see a lady, I'll tip my hat. Let me tell you something, baby doll. Don't be coming out here telling me to tip my hat to you. If you put your hand on this $150 lid, I'll slap them lips on the side of your face. And I don't care if every woman's organization in the country writes me. It's going to happen. Tell that black kid, now then you got me wrong. Tip my hat to a lady. I'd come closer to tipping it to a Jezebel down on the street.
The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, and a warning to Baby Doll. We'll be right back.
And then, like I say, after she stole the horse, her and Dusty ended up getting together for a while, at least, and they were happy for a while, and then she left him for Ric Flair, and then they had the whole fiasco with the briefcase that we never found out. What
the James Boy thing came about. Do you remember when Cornette hit her in the stomach with the tennis racket? They thought she couldn't have kids.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was...
And they had the Great American Bashes, like, that summer, and it had, like, a Magnum and Dusty and Baby Doll and, like, cage matches with Midnight Express and Jim Cornette.
You know what was the best part of it? Was when it was pretty much in, when basically you had the James Boys were going to wrestle on TV, and they got jumped by the Midnight Express, and they beat them up, and they went to unmask them, and it wasn't them. It was Sam Houston and Tom Zane. And I don't know how I confused Magnum with Sam Houston, but fucking with that mask on, Tom Zane looked exactly like fucking Dusty. He was built exactly like Dusty, so I knew it was Dusty, and then they took the mask off, and it was Tom Zane. And I was like, what the fuck? And then Dusty and Magnum, then they make the save, and then, like, it was proven that they weren't the James Boys, you know what I mean, after all. So that was an awesome storyline.
They tried to tie Cornette to a truck, the noose. They're going to kill him. Midnight Express got out there and done hit the rope just in time.
They were violent back then. They were going to drag him and kill him. Terry Hart, Terry Funk put the bag on Flair's head and tried to tape it. That was some violent shit back then. Fuck ECW. They didn't have nothing on Jim Crockett Promotions.
Mm-hmm.
But I see we're getting a call, so let's try and take this call here. Caller calling from area code 901. Who's this?
Oh, this is John from Memphis, Tennessee.
Is this the Vincent Verhey fan?
Yes, this is Vincent Verhey's biggest fan, man.
I'm very upset with Vincent Verhey right now at the moment. He had some very discouraging things to say about old Blue Pants, and he needs to ban from the Vegas convention.
And your point is, since you banned her, I'm glad I wasn't going to be there. I was going to show him my scars that I had, man. That's the least dangerous scar that I have. I also have, how X-rated do you want me to get, Daddy?
Well, this is a wrestling that's ever live, so you can say exactly what you want to say.
How you
that's
doing?
Not saying that's not saying that I actually want to hear the story, but you can feel free to tell the story.
In my lifetime, I have been attempted castrated, stabbed, shot in the behind both times, hit with baseball bats, and I have been had my testicles electrocuted like Shaq McMahon.
Hello,
Jack.
I have no words right now.
You're more man than me because I don't think I could survive one of those things, especially the getting my balls electrocuted.
That was my past, man. Believe it or not, I used to be what's the word I'm trying to say? I used to be in a organization that dealt with certain illegal situations. And I got my life together. I got my life together, and all that stuff happened during that time. But I digress, man. I digress, Mr. Laredo. This is my first time listening to your show, man. This is my first time listening to your show, man. I actually like your show, Ed.
We're very good, no matter despite what Brian Howard tries to say about us.
That's why I got you. That's why I got you ahead of Brian Everett as one of the top, is in the top 10 of the smartest people on the Figure Four Empire. I got Craig, you know, I got him as he's ahead of. Unfortunately, he's ahead of you. I did, but you really want to know? You really want to know who's ahead of Brian? Who's ahead of
Please.
Brian? Is Brian is number 9. Number 8 is Brent Crennan.
Do tell.
Yes. Is Craig there?
Yes, sir.
How you doing, Craig, man?
I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. Hey, Craig, I want to say this, man. You have the best. My sister and her friends listen to the Ben and Burhide, listen to the Brian and Benny show, or the Vince and Burhide show featuring Craig and Brian. That's why I call the
yes,
show.
Sir. Okay.
The ladies love your voice, man. They love your. Those ladies love your voice, man. I'm not kidding about it. I know you think I'm crazy because since I have love for the most intelligent man in the Figure Four Empire, Vincent Burhide. The greatest, the most inspirational man in Figure Four Empire history. A man that helped me get through a lot of stuff, man. But I say that to him like that. And Craig, man, I say that with sincerity, man. I would take a bullet for Vincent Burhide, man. I would take a bullet for him. But let me get to Dusty Rhodes. Let me get to Dusty Rhodes, man. I remember watching him as a kid. See, unfortunately, I wasn't a big WWE fan. I didn't, because I grew up in Memphis, so I really just watched. In my lucky time, during my time at 35 years old, I watched Memphis wrestling with the OCWA. I watched Memphis. Then when I had to go down to Greenwood, Mississippi in the summertime, I was lucky. My uncle had a satellite, so I watched Memphis, UWL, and Mid-Atlantic. I don't know if I did watch Continental. Those Southeast, but yeah, probably did. And watched all four of those territories. And I say this to my friend, we was talking about this yesterday. There's three wrestlers in my lifetime that in my childhood that I consider to be superstars, not because I grew up with. And those three are, and believe it or not, none of them is, not one of those three is Hulk Hogan. It's Jerry King Lawler because I'm from Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Nature Boy Ric Flair, because in my lifetime, he was pretty much the World Heavyweight Champion that I get to see, and Dusty Rhodes, just those three. Now, two of those guys was probably the two coolest white boys I ever, excuse my language, saying that because I'm black, the two coolest white boys that I ever seen, they got that my dad said, those are the two coolest white boys I ever seen. If I ever want, and he said this, son, if you ever gonna be successful, be those two cool little white boys. That was Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes. And my mom loved Jerry King Lawler because she went to college with Jerry King Lawler for a year. And she took classes with him and she knew him personally. And that's not like that, but you know what I mean. And I just thought, when I heard his story, like, and it broke my heart, and it made me think. I went on the network, and I went to, and I had to go to YouTube just to watch his, and I watched some matches of him. I watched the matches with him and Flair, him and Funk, him and Harley Race. I even watched the Steve Corino match with him in ECW, which most people forgot, which for a match like that was actually very good, better than some of the bull rope and matches that we see in that company up in WWE has right now. But I won't talk about that. And I'm just thinking, he has the greatest talker teaching these guys how to cut a promo, and they won't use him. They use them in this kind of way, but they didn't properly use them in a great way. But it's kind of strange that everybody, even from the top of the companies, each and every of the major three that's in this world, had nothing negative to say about him, because he influenced every single one of them to the point that they loved him like that. And that's the reason why I love that show. That's the reason why I had love for this man and every wrestling fan, because I went to talk to even my coworkers today at the psych clinic I work at. Yeah, I'm a social worker. That's strange enough. I'm a social worker. It's kind of strange, I know, that all the crazy stuff that happened to me, I'm in the mental health field, and that's kind of strange. People are strange about that. Everybody that's over the age of, I could say over the age of 35, that doesn't even watch wrestling, they haven't watched wrestling in 30 years. If you would tell them, can you name a wrestler today? You have some that say Hogan. You have some that say, but they pretty much named two wrestlers today, and most of them are from Memphis. One was Jerry Lawler, the other one was Dusty Rhodes, because they grew up remembering watching Dusty Rhodes. He was that well known.
Yeah.
I can write it. I can't say it.
Influential.
Yeah, influential. Thank you. Who is that, Craig?
Yes, sir.
Craig? You know,
yes,
Craig, man, you are an intelligent man. I'm going to move you up to the top four. I might move you past Granny, Whitney, and Bridget at the top four. Hey, by the way, when you talk to Benny, man, You going to Brian's birthday party today?
It's actually next week.
Are you going?
Of course.
When you talk to Vinny, man, tell him, man, that I'm gonna be in Seattle the month after that for doing the weekend of SummerSlam.
Okay.
I gotta be in this. I'm going to see my brother. He's getting married. He lives in the Capitol Hill area of Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So him and his boyfriend's getting married. So hey, we're close to the boat, man.
Sure.
And I would love to meet Vinny, man, and meet Vinny one time. Can you arrange that for me, man?
Well, I'll tell you what. Every SummerSlam weekend, we all get together for Super China Buffet Day. And you know what I'm saying? If you're in town, just come on.
Oh, where is it gonna be at, man? I will be there, and I just want to sit next to Benny and just admire the awesomeness.
Well, everything will be up on the board. I have no idea where we're gonna do it again, but usually Brian's place is only about another 20 minutes outside of Seattle, where you're going to be. So, when the time gets close, and if you're going to be there SummerSlam weekend, we will make sure we get in touch.
I can show you all my scars, man.
Not all of them, please.
Craig, you need to get Periscope.
I do got Periscope. I do have Periscope.
All right, well, this will be awesome. We'll broadcast the meeting on Periscope, and we'll let everyone.
That would be great.
So,
You would think everybody would like everybody on the Empire would want to see me meet Vinny. You see what his reaction would be. Would you want to see that, Ed?
Oh, I'd love to see it. I'm sad you're not coming to Vegas.
Well, man, I have a job that I have to go do. Convention. I had a wonderful convention. I have to be so happy and do the reviews of all my paperwork in the wonderful city of Nashville, Tennessee. It was supposed to be this month, but the people, the palace that be, flipped it around for the week after the 4th of July. So that whole week I have to deal with service plans for all 200 of my clients that I deal with on a monthly basis. And I have to double up on the week after, the week before and the week after, just to see if I see my clients twice a month. So for a whole month, I have to see two times 200 clients twice a month. Can you imagine seeing these people? And they make y'all look normal. They make me and Brett Crennan look. They make Brett Crennan look normal. You know how hard that is, Craig, to make Brett Crennan look normal?
I've never seen it done, to be honest with you.
Oh no! If I could, I would love to show you some of these people, but you would have a nervous breakdown. But that's all I got to say, guys. I just want to say I love this. I actually like this show. I'm glad that I get to talk to the second best person on the Venture Verhaas show featuring Craig and Brian, Craig Popel. Craig Popel?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Hey, I do get it. I listen to your show. Hey. I want to tell you this. It was you and Benny that actually made me buy the figure four on subscription to this. I got a formula for subscription to this because of y'all two. I could care and Dave. I could care less about Brian. I could beat Brian up. I can humble him. I will break his back like the Iron Sheik. I'm actually might get in shape and become a wrestler and just run circles over him. I'm a shooter like Buddy Wayne, man. I'm a shooter like Buddy Wayne.
I love it.
Well, thanks for your call, man. We really appreciate it, and please keep listening to the show.
Oh, thanks, man. And believe it or not, I don't do drugs.
Good for you, brother.
Woohoo! That was a five-star rant.
Yep. Cool, man. Well, you have a good night, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a good one.
You too.
That was funny.
Have fun at the commitment ceremony.
The what?
Have fun at the commitment ceremony in the summer. I thought that was a new joke when he's talking about all the times he's been stabbed.
Right, that's crazy. I'm glad I've never been stabbed that many times. But he actually kind of reminded me something because he brought up that he didn't watch WWE, and I had totally forgot about Dusty Rhodes and WWE, and that's something we have to talk about because, basically, Dusty had been on top and Crockett for like the longest time, and then there were like, different things going on, and he got removed from the top and this and that, and finally he ended up leaving Crockett, and he went to WWE.
This is when Turner bought the company, and he did the thing where, remember when the Road Warrior spiked his eye on TV and he bled all over the place after they said no more blood on TV? And he got fired as booker, and he didn't last long after that because he'd been the booker so long, he wasn't going to be just as talented and have to listen to somebody else, I guess. So then he left.
So they when he came to WWE, they started doing these vignettes where they're making him, you know, kind of a takeoff on what his gimmick was, and that was the common man. Dusty Rhodes was the common man. That's why everybody loved him. And they showed him he's being like a plumber because he's the son of a plumber. And he's just doing all these kind of, like, stereotypical
the woman's redneck. The woman was stopped up with doo-doo. And I mean,
yeah,
they got a camera shot in the toilet. I mean,
it would have been it would have been horrible skits if it was anybody but Dusty Rhodes, but Dusty Rhodes made him work. And
he
then finally,
he was the butcher, and he had a taco truck. And he worked at a gas station, and he kicked the woman's dipstick. You know, so
yeah. So they do all these, and then finally he debuts, and he's got his music, American Dream, and then the cowbell, and then
Ed, please.
Well, anyway, so he come out, but then he came out, and he was wearing black trunks with these giant yellow polka dots, and he had a bandana that was a black bandana with yellow polka dots, and he'd have a shirt, and the shirt was black with yellow polka dots, and somehow polka dots became his gimmick. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, Vince is giving him this shit just to embarrass him, just to fuck with him. And it would have worked with every single person in the entire world except for Dusty Rhodes, who went out and said, fuck this shit, and made it work and got over like $1 million wearing fucking yellow polka dots. It was the most incredible thing ever.
If it had been anybody else, it'd have been like the Red Rooster. You know, just something to kill a guy, but yeah, he got it over. I mean, he was very popular, and I liked his run in WWF. He had a good feud with Boss Man, Randy Savage.
Yeah.
It kind of ended abruptly, but I mean, it was, for the most part, it was good. Like him and the Million Dollar Man was good. Him and Macho Man was good. He ended up getting a valet who was not your typical valet. It wasn't a beautiful blonde or big boobed, model or anything. It was basically an older black. Okay, Craig, you got to promise to behave during this part of the segment. An older black woman, an older African American black woman, who basically her claim to fame was in, I think, Kansas City. I don't want to say she worked for the promotion, but basically she was the taxi driver of the promotion. And whenever Ric Flair or they brought in anybody, she basically picked them up at the airport, took them to the arena, took them where they needed to go, and she did that for everybody. And she was actually very, very loved by the wrestlers at the time period. I think it was almost like a thank you, them giving her the job, because, like, everybody knew who she was.
I think it was in St. Louis or Kansas City or something she was at.
Yeah, it was like Kansas City, St. Louis, something like that. But it was one of the cities where, like, that would bring in a lot of people. So
I think it's probably Central States, to be honest. Back then, Central States area that she was working in. It always used to bring in stuff.
So, and then they brought her in, and her name was Sapphire. And apparently there's a story that Bad News Allen got mad and went to Vince McMahon and started fucking yelling at him and stuff, saying that it was racist and how can they get the racist term and you can't call her a Sapphire. And Vince says, oh, we'll change it. So he calmed down and he left Vince alone, and then the next time she came out, she was Sweet Sapphire. And I guess somehow that made it unracist or whatever. But it was, like I say, it was this older, heavy set lady, but she I don't want to say she was this great dancer, but she could play off of Dusty, and they were actually a very great act. I mean, they were entertaining as hell. Dusty Rhodes, big old fat Dusty Rhodes dancing dirty with this older black lady. It was fantastic, and I loved them. I thought they were great, and then until, unfortunately, everyone has a price, unfortunately, and the Million Dollar Man bought her off, and he bought Sapphire, the fur coat and the diamonds and, everything. And she turned on poor Dusty. And then that was pretty much the end of Sapphire. But everything about Dusty's run in WWE was wrong, but somehow he made it right. You know what I mean? I mean, it was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
It was fun. It was, but Dusty Rhodes, if anything, was fun. Now, he could be serious and have, like, the angles where the horsemen jump him and break his arm, and he calls a spot right before they break his arm. But, he was fun. Dusty Rhodes made wrestling fun, and he made my childhood fun. And, you know, I'll never forget that. And he got even bigger in WWE. He was at his fattest, I believe, in WWE, but he could still have good matches. And then they did the angle with Dustin, and they brought Dustin in. And speaking of that, this isn't from that angle, but this is involving Dustin. So I'm going to play you. This is the last clip that I have. So let me play this, and we can get a drink of water or something while it's playing.
Come here, Dustin. I want everybody to bear with me just for a minute. I want to talk to my son in front of the whole world. When you were born, when you were a baby, when you were born, I went off to seek my fame and fortune. I neglected you. Then later on, when I became World Heavyweight Champion, I neglected you. Then lately I became this corporate cowboy, if you will, in public with a suit and tie on, and I neglected you. And when it came down to choose a partner, I was off in Hollywood, and I neglected you. Let me tell you something. Buckhouse Buck, let me tell you, Colonel Parker, they all nothing but chicken thieves. That's all they are, brother. Let me tell you something else. Terry Funk is nothing but a low-life, watermelon thief, egg-sucking dog. And let me tell you something about Arn Anderson. Arn Anderson, my son, offered up his innocence, and you paid him back in scorn. The hell with you, Arn Anderson. Arn Anderson has never been nothing but a walk behinder. And when you walk behind and you're not a leader, then the view never changes, baby. The view never changes, baby. The view never changes. You have the ability to be the world's heavyweight wrestling champion. There is not a greater athlete at your age in this sport. But I would ask you a favor. I want to ask you a favor in front of God and the whole world. I know that the Clash of Champions on August the 24th, you put your name on the dotted line. I don't want you to look for another partner. I don't want you to go and find another man. I don't want you to go out and get on your knees and beg another scum-sucking pig to be your partner. I'm asking you if you can tear this old out of shape, old bent out, old slender-legged man. I want to be your partner. I don't need no handshake, because out there right now tonight there's people with their brothers, their sisters, and their wives. They are blood. The Kennedys were blood. The Earps were blood. The Rhodes are blood. I don't need a handshake. What I need now from you is just a hug and a kiss. Just feel the deal, baby.
Okay, that kind of freaked me out. Did it cut out for you guys there for a few seconds? Because I was, like, worrying that I got disconnected or something happened there.
No, it's fine.
Okay. Well, speaking of Dusty, I guess we have to talk about Dusty's offspring, since that clip featured one of them. And that is, of course, Dustin and Cody. And I remember hearing a little bit about Dustin in the aftermath, and then I remember they brought him in. They kind of were putting him over as a tag team. I think it was him and Kendall Windham. But I think they only wrestled maybe once, maybe twice on Saturday night, and that was the last you saw of him. And then I didn't see him again until he showed up in USWA and wrestled in USWA in Memphis and Texas for a little bit. And then he finally made his return to WCW, and I thought he had a great run. He had great matches with Stone Cold Steve Austin before he was Stone Cold, and he had the great team with Ricky Steamboat and him and Barry Windham were an awesome tag team, and I thought Dustin was awesome. And then they had a falling out, so a lot of it having to do with Dustin marrying Terry Runnels, and Dustin ended up going to WWF and then became even more famous than he was and became one of the most controversial characters of all time when he became Goldust, and he was, what was the term, androgynous, and he didn't know if he was straight or gay or bi, and, you know, he had the Goldust costume, and a lot of people were freaked out by Goldust, but I always enjoyed Goldust, and then, of course, you know, years later, Cody came, and Cody, unfortunately, has been the victim of a lot of bad gimmicks and not being used the proper way. They had a good run last year, but, you know, now he's Stardust, which is a takeoff on one of Dusty's old names. But, you know, Cody is a good hand, and maybe one day he'll end up getting something good instead of what he's been given a lot of times. But your guys' thoughts on the Rhodes Kids?
Dustin was, I remember, yeah, I was watching, he was the Texas Broncos, Kendall Windham when he first came in late 88, and he left not long after Dusty. Obviously, in 89, and he was one of those guys, in kind of a way, like an Owen Hart or a Kurt Angle. He picked it up for, like, really fast, and he was very good not long after, you know, he got in the business. I mean, he was only 3 years in the business, and he was, like, having all those great matches, like you said, with, like, Steve Austin and tag team with Barry Windham and working in WCW and stuff like that, and I always thought he was an awesome talent. I thought he was a very good worker, even though he got people would say he's only given a spot because of his dad, which is in some ways was true, but he earned it. So, you know, it's not like he sucked. He wasn't Nick Gules' son, let's say.
Yeah, he was kind of like the Von Erichs and the Harts, maybe not all the Harts, but some of the Harts, you know. They were actually good enough to be pushed that way, but people just, you know, people are resentful and stuff like that, and they say shit like that, and they want to make themselves up to be bigger than they are. But no, he was awesome. I mean, I always enjoyed him and Arn Anderson, just a really, really great worker. And when he became Goldust, you know, he really didn't have to work like that as much, but he still had, like, that awesome match with Roddy Piper at WrestleMania where they did the O.J. Simpson car chase, basically.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah. And then he got stripped. And I thought him and Terry were, like, a great couple. And I thought they were awesome together. And him and Booker T, one of the fucking greatest tag teams of all time. And I'll never forget when he was a Crocodile Hunter and what the fuck did he call X-Pac?
Called him a sewer rat or something. They tend to suck or something. I don't know. And I remember just the Big Show was laying asleep on the couch, and every time he'd snore, he'd say cheeseburger.
Yeah, but him and Booker were awesome. And then, like, he had, like, veteran gimmick after he got electrocuted, and he's just one of those guys. He's like his dad, you know. He can make whatever you gave him kind of. Well, no, I shouldn't say that because there was that one gimmick in WCW that sucked. But when he wanted to, he could get something over. And, you know, he was actually awesome this last run. He was probably in some of the best shape he'd been in, like, fucking 15 years or 10 years.
He's doing Hurricane Ronas and shit.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Your thoughts, Greg?
What do you think, Greg?
Oh, Dustin. I'll never forget Brian used to have this little hotline, and you're basically calling his house and listening to his answering machine. he would post updates on his answering machine. You call his house, and it just rang, and, you know, then the answering machine would pick up, and you get like a 3 minute, 4 minute little update for every day. And I remember seeing Goldust for the first time, and I had to call somebody,
to figure out if this was actually Dustin Rhodes. I was in such disbelief in seeing what I saw that I must have been mistaken. And was not a fan of the gimmick for a long time. And I think I turned the corner when Terry came into the mix, because that woman was absolutely gorgeous. And
it was one hell of a star.
And I sure. And as you said, the quote unquote match at the WrestleMania with Piper, just unreal. He proved he was, you know, a super tough guy, even though he had this gimmick. And I still remember, and this was completely off the wall, but he came out on Raw. I'm pretty sure it was very, very close to New Year's, and he came out dressed as a New Year's baby, Dustin did.
Yeah.
including the bonnet and a huge binky. And by the end of the night, he was stuffed into a porta potty, and then it was tipped over by Austin.
He both. Yeah, it was a porta potty, and it had a sign on it said Crapper 316.
That's right. That's right. But highly entertaining, highly successful run he has, Gold Dust. I really wish I could erase the stuff I saw with him in TNA. Because
Black
Rain. Yeah, Black Rain.
He looked like he was wrestling with a hefty guard bag on or something, and he had the rat.
Yes, and he had the rat. That's right. I wish I could unsee a lot of that stuff because it was really bad. As for Cody, he's awesome. He's a great wrestler. I really wish they would unsaddle him with the gimmick that he has when he was just Cody Rhodes and he had the mustache. That was fine. There was nothing wrong with that. Even without the mustache, when he was just Cody Rhodes, he was fine. He was actually getting over with his wrestling, you know. For some reason, that's not good enough in WWE right now. You can't get over with wrestling. But,
well, he gets to lose the arrow later this summer, probably.
Yeah, he's been booked very badly. He's been underutilized. And I understand why. It's because of the gimmick they saddled him with. But that's their fault. So both very talented wrestlers. I feel so sorry for his boys because, well, as you know, Ed, losing your dad sucks.
Yeah, yeah, I know that.
Feel bad for the Shockmaster too. That was his brother-in-law.
Right.
Yeah. What do you think? Okay, because they, like I say, they really haven't been doing much with him as far as Stardust, and you know, I'm sure this has hit everyone in the WWE pretty hard. You know,
sure.
So I'm wondering, do we see what they like? Do you remember when Eddie died, and at the time Chavo was doing the stupid white man gimmick, doing the current Owen, and they dropped that?
Right.
Do you think they dropped Stardust and have him go back to being Cody, or keep going with what they're doing because they don't have any ideas?
Well, Stardust one isn't, it's not as absurd as the, what was his name, Kerwin White?
Yes.
Yeah. And Ted Dolph Ziggler is his caddy or something, like,
yeah,
or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not
I
as absurd
that.
As that, where you, like, you, okay, this is Chavo, you know, you have to go back to being Chavo, you know. So,
right.
I don't know.
How much of a thing
do you think they pay tribute to? Do you think they just do a screenshot, you know, or do you think they do the whole 10-bell salute to everybody out there? Because, I mean,
they should do the 10-bell salute
to
everybody out there.
Every single person in that roster at some point, you know what I mean? Since he's down
right.
there in NXT and FSCW for so long. I mean, he's a big part of all the new, you know, the people who have come in the last you know, so many years.
That promo class is going to suffer, I think, because of this, you know, down in NXT. You know, he was the one helping everybody with their promos and stuff.
I would imagine they I'm checking WWE.com right now. They usually have a video done by now, but there is an article on it. I'm sure that they'll have a nice video for him and a 10 bell salute and everything else. So
they'll have something on the pay per view this weekend, I would think.
Oh yeah.
Did they have anything on SmackDown last night? I don't know if anybody watched.
I didn't get a chance to watch.
Well, the thing with SmackDown, it's already pre-taped, and when did he pass on? Was it Thursday or Wednesday?
I think it was Wednesday, yeah.
They can get this stuff done pretty fast, so they're pretty quick.
Yeah, so they had a day, but I think they would kind of – I didn't see it, so I don't know. So, but I don't know. I think they would wait for the pay-per-view or Raw, so that way they can make a proper tribute. Like, maybe they mentioned it, but
yeah.
If they didn't, it's not a problem where I'm going to be mad that, oh, they didn't do it. No, because if they didn't do it on SmackDown, it's only because they want to make a bigger deal than what they could have done in one day on a pre-tape show. So,
we'll see something on Sunday. So,
I can, give me just a sec. I can check right now.
What did you ask, Katrina?
I didn't ask anything.
Well, what
are you going to check on? He's going to go check on something.
No, I've got it on my DVR. I just need to start it up. I'll check and see if they did anything on SmackDown.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, talk amongst yourselves.
And then, it was also probably like a bad time because there's so much going on at the Performance Center right now because they've been picking the Tough Enough finales. And now this the Tough Enough finalist and very disappointed. Former past guest Chelsea Green did not make the final cut, and that kind of sucks for her. She's actually a good little hand. I was hoping she'd make it, but he was like a father figure to basically everybody who went to NXT, and so I can see how, you know, they're all like they were all writing about it like Blue Pants. Blue Pants wrote a thing where she was backstage and she's nervous and freaking out and she's just asking all these questions for advice because she's just so nervous. And Dusty just turns to her and says, "Shut up, Blue Pants." And she just is in shock because Dusty Rhodes just told her to shut up. And then he just puts her arm around her and says, you'll be fine, Blue Pants." And you know, and I'm sure he like talked to everybody that walked through those doors at some point, you know, and. I can only imagine what it's like wanting to be a wrestler and just learning and you walk in and there's Dusty Rhodes telling you what to say and what to do. And not only that, but also, like I say, being that father figure to so many people. So, you know, it's I'm sure it's a big loss.
When he came off like the cool grandfather. You know, you have like, you know, somebody or you have one in your life just like a grandparent or something, but it's just, like, cool that can relate to your friend and you can just, like, say and do anything in front of them, pretty much.
Yeah.
That was my grandpa.
Yeah.
So, yeah, totally.
Like, I'm very jealous of Rob. Oh, go ahead.
I said, I can confirm they did not do anything at the beginning of SmackDown, and if it was going to be anywhere, I'm sure it would be there. So, yeah, I would expect something on Sunday at the pay-per-view. Possibly even on the pre-show.
Yeah, hopefully they'll do something big on the pre-show.
I would expect a very touching, heartfelt video that will probably bring a single tear to my eye. And hopefully they'll bring out Cody and Dustin. I don't know if Dustin can be there. He's just had surgery on his shoulder maybe a week ago. So who knows? But I'm sure they're not going to let it go without a proper introduction or a proper send-off.
Yeah, it's bad when like this happens, but I'm looking forward to the Observer next week. So
yeah, totally.
At least Dave has a lot of time, like a lot of notice this time. You know, usually it seems like he's got a day or two, like when somebody has passed, to get a story
out.
Yeah,
usually it's usually the morning that he has to get the Observer out. It's usually when something happens. So he hasn't even finished the Vern Gagne one, so that's how busy he's been. But hopefully he'll get, I'm sure he'll definitely make the time. I mean, when he has, I'm sure he doesn't want to be known for this, but the greatest thing Dave Meltzer is at is not reporting wrestling news. It's writing obituaries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
I mean,
Sad, but I mean, he does do everyone justice. Like,
I got both those Tributes 1 and 2 books that he came out with, you know, like a while back.
I got those.
Many years ago. And really good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed reading it.
Yeah. That I remember the Eddie Guerrero one. That one was fucking awesome. So we got 3 minutes. Let me get the plugs out real quick. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com along with a lot of other shows. Check out AngryMarks.com. You can also download and stream our show at BlogTalkRadio.com/Catrera and older shows at BlogTalkRadio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
And you can send all your hate mail to Twitter. That's at ProperJam. That's PROPERJAM. Any snivels or groans or grunts can be directed there. And can I just quote the great Rodney King? Can't we just all get along?
That's up to you. I mean, you're the one causing problems.
Yeah, you got me dead to rights.
You can go to youtube.com/Catrera. I got a bunch of old wrestling and stuff up there. I should have told the guy that called earlier. They got all that mental stuff on my YouTube. Go to youtube.com/Catrera, C-U-T-R-E-R. There's shitloads of emphasis up there if you want to watch it. I mean, Twitter, Catrera35. I made my first tweet in like a year and a half or so this week because I saw Ed criticizing Lance because he missed an apostrophe in a word, and I couldn't have Ed go correct somebody's grammar, and I just couldn't stand for that. So I had to put my 2 cents worth in.
I tell my fault Lance doesn't know how to spell. He makes mistakes all the time.
I posted, when did Ed, I must have been out of town when Ed suddenly became literate and, you know, could criticize a person's grammar. So...
Oh my gosh!
I did have one more question about that whole fiasco that I have to ask Craig. And
oh,
I don't know who wrote this or why, but Manny Leon's black.
Yeah, there was a conversation between Brian and I about the girls that he loved because I had suggested during the song blah 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 blah, and Brian goes, "You know, I like more than black girls. I like Nikki Bella. I like Mandy Leon," and blah, 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 blah. And he said Mandy Leon first, and I think Vince said Mandy Leon's black. And so, anyway, I'm sure if you do any kind of digging, you'll be able to find the audio that you seek. But it's really uneventful. I'm going to be honest with you. It's really nothing to go out of your way to try to find. It's so...
Speaking of Mandy Leon, I don't know if she's been posting these on her social media, but there's an all women show tomorrow, Queens of Combat, and it's funny because it's like different female wrestlers. There's different carloads of female wrestlers going to Carolina. I think it's in Carolina. In one car, you got Blue Pants, Jessica Havoc, who is kind of like a troublemaker like Todd. Mm. And Sue Young and Santana Garrett, former Brittany. And then coming from the north to the south, we have a car with Mandy Leon, Ginny Rose, Solo Darling, Pitcher, who the other one was, but very attractive, all of them very attractive. And they were Ginny Rose was posting videos all over her Facebook of them where she was, not periscoping, but basically she was recording them all, singing songs, like that Barbie song and like other songs, and Benny Lil was driving with these big old sunglasses and she's just getting down seeing there. It was awesome. There's like three or four of these clips, and they're actually like that show Lip Sync is what they're doing. And it was actually very entertaining. Benny Lil, and she reminds me so much of Tracy Lee, except I don't think she's Asian, but big eyes, big boobs.
Yeah. She's absolutely gorgeous. She was signing at the WrestleCon, and it took everything in my power to put my money back in my wallet because I will not be doing that. So
I missed her. Unfortunately, she wasn't signing when I was doing it. I thought I would have, because I actually spent a lot of money at that WrestleCon. I was all
being
super marked. Yeah. But she's awesome. But we'll go ahead and end the show already. We're already past the time. Unless any last thoughts on Dusty Rhodes or anything, Craig?
No, I mean, he's going to be missed. You know, I'm especially going to miss his finish.
We saw it on last pay-per-view.
Yeah, I know. I'm just kidding. But
when you think about it.
Yeah.
He'll
be around forever. His finish will live on forever, and I will continue to be upset with it. But
first time he did it.
We've been so long since the thing that finished. I didn't even really mind it at the pay per view a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. If you sit on something long enough and then surprise fans with it, it's not so bad. It's when you do it week after week that it's really bad. But he's one of the greats, man. If there was a Mount Rushmore of wrestling, his face would definitely be on there. You know, he was the dream, man. And he was the common man, and everybody could relate to him. He was just a good old boy. You know, he wore a cowboy hat and had a big belt buckle, and he looked like a guy you could hang out with at a truck stop and get a cup of Joe or have a beer with. He was just...
He was a bull of the woods, if you will.
Yes. He was just somebody that the average wrestling fan could totally relate to, because they were just like he was, except he could flip-flop and fly. So he's going to be missed, especially with the younger generation. I'm glad that the network's around so young people can actually see what he's all about, and hopefully somebody can someday, when they quit demanding that you read from the script, hopefully somebody someday can channel his promo ability, because he was the best.
It was even more sad when I went to get my Dusty DVD that I have, that unfortunately it doesn't talk anymore. It has died as well.
Hmm. That's really ironic.
Yeah, it was funny, because when I went to buy that, and it did the cashier, and I guess she pushed the button, and Dusty yelled funky like a monkey at her or something like that. She looked at me, and I looked at the wall, and said, yep.
Yeah, that's what we do.
And thankfully nobody else was in line.
That's funny. Anything else, Katrina?
No, that's it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to leave the show with something that every time I hear the Dusty Rhodes name, I'm going to think of this. This is like the first thing that's going to pop into my head, and it will always will.
I tell you, there's a lady in the man's bathroom. Look at that. There is a woman in the man's